If you're joining us for the first time today, we've been going through a series on Matthew, looking at the life and ministry of Jesus. And it's been a really great series, really encouraging. And what we've highlighted as we've walked through this series is this concept of a kingdom coming. The kingdom is near, to repent. And then we see God giving instruction to Jesus, giving instruction to the people of that time on how to live as kingdom people, right? If you've been with us, it's a beautiful example of a big and loving family, right? And we're going to speak more about that today. What Jesus did in this Passion Week, the crucifixion, the resurrection, what that has accomplished for us. Several years ago, I spoke about the fact that the resurrection changes everything, and I stand by that. It changes absolutely everything. The way that we live and the freedom that we have, all these beautiful promises that we've examined at a little bit over the past 8 or so weeks. Those are beautiful realities that we get to experience in full and usher into today by the power of the Spirit, which we receive in Christ Jesus, right? That's right, because of what he did. So today, as we start this message, I'd like to read through Matthew's account of the resurrections. Matthew 27, we're going to look at 27, 57 through 28, verse 8. I'll give you a minute. Matthew 27, verse 57. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb, that he had cut out of rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. That this last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answers. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, this is chapter 28. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified.
He's not here. He is risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. Father, I pray as we receive your word today that we would be encouraged as we listen to all that your death and resurrection has changed. That we would be encouraged to join in your glorious family and be part of your kingdom coming and your will being done here on earth as in heaven. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, he has risen. He has risen. I was thinking about this morning what a glorious day it is. And so someone already mentioned that I dressed nicer than normal. And so I was thinking, you know, why do I do that? Well, you know, you can catch me once or twice a year putting a tie on. It's probably the very least I can do to honor Jesus for all he's done for me. I think about the story of the wedding feast and being invited in. You know, I came dressed today. So anyways, so it is a glorious day. And as we were thinking this week and this last month, as I've been thinking about this journey through Jesus's ministry, I keep thinking about family and relationship, right? I keep thinking about relationships and closeness. And this really hit me harder in some ways than it did through the whole series when my daughter came to me a few weeks ago. We've been exploring opportunities of moving from our house into a different house. This is something we've been investigating for quite a while. And we had gone and looked at a house with Ava. And afterwards, she really loved it. And afterwards, she's talking to me about, but Daddy, you know, if we move, we've got all this stuff. Like, what are we gonna do? Right? That's the beauty of the innocence of a child. This is why every time I send the children out, I talk about us being encouraged by them, because that type of innocence and curiosity and enthusiasm is something that often can die out with time. And so we want to be energized because we have something to be really excited about, right? We do. And so As Ava asked me this question, I didn't say, well, there's a thing called moving vans. No, I said, we have a big family. Now, we have a lot of immediate family nearby. We've got grandma and grandpa, and we've got grandpapa and Kathleen, and we've got Nana. There's a lot, and you know, it's complicated. That's life. And then we've got your aunt and uncle and your other aunt and uncle, and all these people live around us, and they'll come around. I said, but bigger than that, we have a whole community of family. Right? It's easy for us to forget that that we're called into a deep, meaningful relationship, a deep and meaningful family where we do and support and encourage and build each other up. We lose that in our independent world, right? We do. But we heard about Jesus when his biological mother and brothers come to him and they go, hey, we're looking to talk with, you know, Mary's like, I'm looking to talk to my son, you know? And then someone comes in and Jesus is busy teaching and they poke him. Hey, your mom and brothers are outside. They want to talk with you. Do you remember what Jesus said? My mothers and brothers and sisters are around me. They're right here. Anyone who follows, surrenders to the will of my Father is my mother and sister and brother. That's amazing. Jesus embraced a family that was much bigger than his biological family, right? And it's easy for us, you know, another thing that really struck me this week, it's easy for us to get caught up in the aspect of God's, of Jesus's God nature, right? We think, oh, Jesus is God, and we forget fully man. And so even when we celebrate this season and his passion work and walking to the cross, we forget the depth of suffering that he walked through, the depth of pain and hurt and anguish that he had to engage with, all those things that we engage with and worse in some cases, and where we have to struggle and wrestle to say no to some things and yes to some things, he also had to do that. As I was reading through this passion work, I came to Gethsemane, and he says there in chapter 26, 38, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. That's deep sorrow. Maybe some of us have experienced something like this, but our Savior and Lord, our fully man, fully God, experienced this and had to make a choice. Just like we do. So he gets to show us in this very real and this very hard challenge of walking to the cross, he shows us what a brother and looks like, what a family member looks like, because how he goes to the Father and what's he say? I don't want to, but I will. Your will, not mine. And so in walking in the will of the Father, he says, this is what family looks like, right? We get to be family. This is a beautiful reality that's accomplished in Christ's death and resurrection, because by the power of the Spirit, we are empowered to love like Jesus loved, to put others before ourselves, and to glorify God in our actions, in our deeds, in our words. And part of that is being a family, being together, encouraging each other, walking with each other. What a beautiful gift. Let me give you an interesting example as we're thinking about this aspect of the beautiful gift. And this is just an aspect of the beautiful gift, is this huge family who love and care for each other. Just an aspect. There are many other aspects. If you got a letter in the mail, you got a letter in the mail, it's all official, super official looking. You open that letter up, and there on some kind of lawyer stationery, it says, this distant relative of yours had died, and they had left you $5 million. The first thing to go through your head is probably, this seems like a scam. right? This seems like a scam. We get a lot of those these days. This seems like a scam, but it looks real. Wouldn't you investigate it because the reward is too great not to? There's some people that said no, so God bless you. I would investigate it. You've defied my example. Washed it right down the toilet. No. If you would investigate something so finite and insignificant as millions of dollars, as much as that sounds huge, if you haven't stopped yourself and said, the reward of the realities of the resurrection are too great not to investigate. Right? If you would take the time to investigate a few million dollars, why wouldn't you take the time to investigate eternity and eternal security? So much more than that. That's just a piece. And a family, bigger, the biggest family in the whole world. Why wouldn't you take the time to investigate that? So I want to encourage you. Maybe you've had an idea of what the resurrection looks like, what it entails for you. Maybe you've made a commitment to God. Maybe that commitment is feeling stale. Maybe you've never made this commitment. It's worth investigating. It's worth investigating. The benefit is too great to not investigate. Jesus made us a family. It says in Galatians 3, 26 through 29, it says, so in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith, part of a family. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are family. Amen? And this is really exciting because as family, we get to care for each other like family, like the best family, because we've got a father that is far greater than any father you could have in your biological family. And we have a Savior in Christ Jesus who has clothed us in righteousness so that we can stand before said Father with joy, entering the throne room of grace, unafraid, glorious. Glorious. Next week, you know, in verse 27 of Galatians, it says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Next week, we get to celebrate with brothers and sisters who are going to take a step in declaring before you all in baptism that they want in on this family. How cool. Yeah. So I really hope, yeah, it's worth clapping about. I really hope that you will join us because this is what it's all about. We're seeing this develop within our community and hopefully we're building these types of relationships with all believers because our family isn't just here in this building. And maybe you're here just visiting. Maybe this is a great place for you to hang out. and stay a while. But I would encourage you, if not here, somewhere, because it's all about family, and you need to build those relationships with other believers. They are the ones that help us mature in Christ. Our vision statement here at New Hope is growing together towards maturity in Christ. And we genuinely, deeply, all the staff, all the leaders, want to walk together to that end, building each other up so that we can be lighthouses in a dark world. Amen? Amen. I want to invite the kids and musicians up. And I hope that you guys would join us next week as we welcome in a whole bunch of new family members. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you. I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for the precious gift of your passion work, of your resurrection. Lord, I pray that we would be experiencing its benefits. Lord, if we have yet to surrender our lives to you, I pray that you would be opening doors and opening hearts. Bless us as we continue to worship you this morning together. In Jesus' name, amen.